Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit in creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. And today we have a very special treat for you. We have Buffy Diaz. Buffy is flipping the script on a very important conversation for girls and women. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to keep watching. But Buffy is also an entrepreneur. She's the mother of four, a wife, a globetrotter, a creative. She has a retreats business where she hosts retreats all over the world. And she's a yoga teacher training. So welcome, Buffy.
Hi.
Yogurt teacher, right? Yep. So maybe you might make yogurt too, right? You do everything else.
Well, you know, my parents have a funny story about that. I guess when I was a little kid, we were in the grocery store and I guess George Bush was running for president when I was little, mm-hmm. The senior one. And and he had campaigns that were like, read my lips. And I was in the grocery cart. My mom's like, you know, trying to get the grocery shopping done. And I'm like, Mom, yogurt. And she's like, okay. I'm like, Mom, read my lips, yogurt. So they always tease me about that. That's their favorite story to tell. And now my dad says that I practice yogurt.
Well, things funny. All right. So good. So I wasn't too far off.
No, a little different, but. Yeah, I train yoga teachers. It's one of my favorite things that I do.
Wow. All right. So let's go back. So where were you? I know you're in the house that you grew up in. Where were you born?
I was born in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
One of seven children. I'm the middle.
Like the very middle? Like fourth? Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I love it. I love having a lot of siblings. So we just got together for the holidays. I'm just visiting. And yeah.
How many girls? How many boys?
Five girls. And then the youngest two are boys.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we just celebrated the holidays together. It was super fun. Got a few more days here. Then headed back home.
Wow. Okay. So you grew up there like your whole life. And then where'd you go? Or what were you? Did you go to college? What were you majoring in? Or what was your interest?
No, I actually left home at 17. I moved to Argentina. Yeah, I studied in a bilingual program for a year on my own. And that's actually where I met my partner. And we've been together since then. And then I went on to college. Yes, I did go to college in Virginia. And then I traveled a lot in between all those years. And later, as an adult, I think I already had two of my kids. Actually, I have my master's degree, so in school counseling.
And what was your undergrad in?
Education,
okay.
Yeah.
And did you, when you said you met your partner in Argentina, did you bring him back with you for college?
Oh, well, he's not from Argentina. He's from Chicago. So he was in the same program. And we kind of dated long distance off and on. And we ended up together. So...
Wow.
All these years later.
Oh, so you were like you were long distance. And then when did you get back together? Like,
I guess we dated off and on for 5 years. And then I was moving to Costa Rica. And, you know, I wanted him to come with me. And the school that I was going to teach at, so I had trained to be a teacher. And the school wouldn't let me just bring a boyfriend to live with me. I had to, it had to be like a a partner. Like, you had to be married.
Yeah.
So we planned our wedding in 1 month, and it was awesome. It rained the whole day. We didn't have a plan B, and we danced all night in the mud. It was super fun.
Was it in Costa Rica?
No, right in the backyard.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then we moved to Costa Rica, and we lived there for a year, and then we actually moved back to the States for about a decade. And then 2.5 years ago, we moved back down to Costa Rica. It's where I feel at home. So yeah, I really love being there.
And what was he doing while you were, so you went to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And what was he doing?
He studied aviation, but he didn't end up doing that. So he's done different things. Yeah. And right now he has a pretty sweet gig where we can travel, and he works online. So we're down in Costa Rica some of the time. And then we have an RV here in the States, and we've been able to take the kids. I think we're at 42 states now. So.
Wow. So what did he end up like, what from aviation, what did he go into? Like,
so
computers or something?
Well, his family is actually from Cuba. And his grandparents came over in the 60s. It's a really cool story. So they had to give up everything, actually, in order to be given permission to leave. His grandfather sat me down one day and told me the whole story. And he had a successful business there in Cuba, a butcher shop. And they had like a car and a house, which was, you know, doing pretty good. And they, in order to leave the country, they had to give all that over to the government. His grandfather had to work without pay, basically as a slave, in the sugarcane fields for 2 years before they would allow them to leave. Well, they came with absolutely nothing, and his grandfather got a job at a meatpacking factory in New York City, and because he had a cousin, I believe, that worked there, and so they worked there and I guess learned the ropes from what I understand. And then they moved out near Chicago and started their own. And it went wild. I mean, when they sold the business, I think they had like over 500 or 600 or 700 employees. I'm not sure, but like a rags to riches story. And so he grew up in that business, and he can do pretty much anything. So he's done everything from welding to logistics to distribution. I mean, just the ins and outs of business. So, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you got, I know, tell me if I'm wrong, are chill.
Like, we're pretty,
whatever you need to do, you just do, right? You don't worry about it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, oh, you know, about worrying about the money, of course, because that's my thing. You know, like, but it sounds like if he can do anything, he just does what he needs to do. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good partner to have, right?
Yeah. I always say, like, if I was going to end, like, you know, when people say, if you could pick one person to be on a desert island, who would it be? I would pick him because he is super ingenious, and he can fix just about anything. And yeah.
Wow.
Just about anything. So.
Aww.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So then how... I always like to try to map things out. How old? So you got back together. Wait, I can't find my notes. What? So you were apart. You met him in Argentina. You came back. You were apart for 5 years. Then how old were you when you got back together?
Well, we dated after Argentina, but I guess we got married. I thought I was so old. I think I was 23 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's okay. That's when you went to Costa Rica for the year. I see. Okay. Then you came back. And then what'd you do the 10 years that you were back here?
I tried to enjoy living in the Midwest. And then I, like I said, I went to grad school. I had my children. We ended up moving to Atlanta, where I was from when I was pregnant with the twins. And I became certified to teach yoga, actually. And I was at home with the kids a lot, but I did, you know, I did go to school and I did train to become a yoga teacher, and that really changed my life.
So did you first learn So when you say teach yoga, you're teaching the teachers, right? Or are you just leading the classes?
Well, not at first. At first, it was, you know, my own personal journey learning yoga for myself.
Right.
And of course, being a Westerner, we want to turn any spiritual experience into a business. So I right away started teaching, and I was good at it. I had, you know, it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was like a really nice creative outlet. And that's what actually led to hosting retreats. I hosted my first retreat in 2020, right before it all went down. But
where did you- And where was the retreat?
In Costa Rica.
Oh, okay. Were you back there then?
No, I was in Atlanta.
So how did you know where to have it?
I just kind of followed my intuition and found a place. And yeah, it was amazing. And then everything changed, you know, that year. And but we continued. Yeah, I've hosted all over the place. Sedona, Maui, Bali, a lot in Costa Rica, all over the U.S. And the yoga teacher training just kind of happened because I wanted to go deeper with my students. And I was having a lot of, you know, first time trying yoga students come in, which is great. And it's such a privilege to be their first teacher. But I wanted to go deeper with people. So I made a Yoga Alliance certified 200-hour training program, and I've been doing that. This will be, next round will be our fifth year, and then we added an advanced training, which is 300 more hours, and this will be our third year running that one. So yeah, it's really like one of the a big honor for me to guide people with yoga.
Now, when you say go deeper, like where were these people coming? It was the first time. And how would you go? I mean, can you explain how you would go deeper? I mean, I can guess, but I don't know that I'm right about it.
I think just digging deeper into the philosophical underpinnings of yoga and why we're doing the postures, what we're actually doing. We're moving energy through the body and kind of more the spiritual aspects of yoga instead of just the physical exercise. Which that in and of itself has merit, but there's a lot more there. So it's fun to share.
And here, like they call it, you know, like power yoga, like, okay, you know, like, I don't think that's what you're talking about. Well, people are like, go to be the strongest, and the, you know, it's like the ego instead of like the other. So yeah, so that's cool. Wow. Yeah, I have a hard time with yoga, so I would be interested to know, why am I doing this?
Yeah, it's a whole world.
Yeah,
it's very enlightening.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, and there's definitely something to that power yoga. You know, for some people, it's like what they need. And definitely like yoga asana, which is what we practice when we're on the mat, when we move our body in these different shapes. It's called asana. And it's one of the parts of yoga, and it definitely was really instrumental in helping me get inside my body. Like before I found yoga or yoga found me, I wasn't even present in my body. I was just getting through life, doing the things that I thought I needed to do and checking off boxes and getting the degrees and having the kit, you know, just check. And I experienced a tragedy. My best friend was killed by a drunk driver on Christmas Day, actually. It was 12-year anniversary this a few days ago. And it really shook, you know, it was terrible. It's terrible. But I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for her life and for her death because it really catapulted me on this trajectory of my spiritual path and brought me to where I am today. I wouldn't have such a rich life if it weren't for her. I kind of moved into a new phase of being after all of that happened. So
So what had you like what had you go there? Like the meaning of life or the briefness or, you know?
Yeah, I just couldn't really wrap my head around where she went, or
You know.
all these questions of like the afterlife, or because the answers I had been given up to that point were no longer satisfying me. I grew up in a religious home, evangelical Christian home in the South, and I just it just didn't resonate anymore. And I'm really grateful because it allowed me to move into a more authentic version of myself. And it allowed me to get outside of boxes that were actually really too small for me.
So what was like the first thing that you did to like
After I lost, her name was
yeah.
Celeste.
Her name is what?
Celeste.
Celeste. Okay.
Yeah.
So yes, when you what did you do? How did you know what to do?
I didn't. I laid on the couch and ate lasagna for 6 months. I felt like Garfield. And I, my partner was super supportive, walking with me through those really dark days. And I moved through grief the best I could, and I felt it all as much as I could. I had some support. I was in some programs, and they told me, like, if you don't feel it now, you're going to feel it later. It's going to come up later in a negative way. And so I just tried my best to let all the feels happen. And that's what led me to study school counseling. So that's what I did my graduate program in. And I just figured if I had experienced those deep levels of grief, then other people had too. It's like it opened a new world for me of I didn't know people were suffering in that way. And because I had never lost a loved one, really. I lost my grandmother. But this was more of a sudden grief. And so, yeah, like I said, it really pushed me on a healing journey because I wanted to feel better. It was really hard. And yoga came right in on time, right at that time too. It all kind of happened in that same moment. And let me to
Are you, and where were you then, physically? First time.
the Midwest in Illinois.
Illinois.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just happened to like take a yoga class and you were like, oh, this is
Yeah.
cool.
I had a friend who recommended that I check out this new school coming in town, and it was a holistic school because I was going to be looking for a job as I exited my graduate program. And at the school, they had yoga in the morning and the afternoon every day, and it was this really cool concept. No one else was doing that, and she thought I would be into it. I had taken some yoga classes, but I ended up becoming a teacher there. And through a really cool series of events that were super serendipitous. And she, the owner of the school offered for any of the teachers to take yoga teacher training at a reduced rate because she also had a yoga studio. So I thought, why not? And I jumped in and my life changed.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you went there to be like a counselor, sort of, right? And then you ended up following the yoga,
Yeah,
right?
teaching at that school, but
You were,
and I
yeah.
always have been a teacher. Like I still am a teacher. I teach yoga now, and I do teach kids part time. I teach them yoga, and I'm going to be doing some more wellness stuff this coming semester. So it's all I'm always going to be a teacher.
Yeah. What kind of, when you say holistic school, what kind of school is that?
So
Was it like an after school thing or was it
no.
an actual school?
Yeah, it's an actual school and they're still running. They're super successful. And they're like the only one like that in the state of Illinois. And
Is it private?
Yeah. It's
wow.
So they approach cool. kind of the whole child. You could think of it that way instead of just academics. It's social, emotional. Yeah, it's called Grace Holistic.
Wow.
Yeah. And my teacher, Terry, runs it. And I'm always grateful to her.
Terry. Okay. Wow.
That was like serendipitous, right? That you ended up there and then got in touch with the yoga and then got the
yoga teacher training.
Yogurt teacher training, right?
Yes.
Right? I mean, it just was like meant to be, right?
It really was. Yeah.
Cool. All right. And so then from there, so you're still in Illinois and then where?
Yeah, then we moved to Atlanta for a few years. And then.
And what were you doing there? Yoga?
Teaching yoga. Yeah. That's where I started my retreats business. And okay. We were doing really well. And, you know, I had my twins in Georgia. And I never expected to have twins. They were just, it was a random thing that happened. They're identical twins.
Wow.
And, They it was a lot. It was a lot different than just single.
Yeah. You got two.
Yeah. COVID.
And how old were the other ones then?
They were 5 and 3.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were really young when we experienced COVID, that whole transitional time. And I couldn't do it anymore. And so I needed to move to a place where I felt good. So I kind of came to a point where it was like, I'm either going to have to take medication or I'm going to try to live somewhere that I know I feel good. And so I had really hard conversations with my partner and we decided to sell everything and move to Costa Rica. And yeah, that's my medicine.
And then what did he, well, he just does whatever, right? He just yeah. is like,
well,
was it hard for him?
In some ways, yeah. And it wasn't easy. The transition wasn't easy. It felt like we were jumping off a cliff and not knowing where we were going to land with 4 kids on our back. So it was, yeah, it was a lot. But I had a lot of signs and guides along the way who reassured me that we were on the right path and it was just one step at a time.
So where did you end up in Costa Rica?
We live on the west coast.
Is that like the Jaco?
South of Jaco, yeah.
South of Jaco, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know much, but so you just kind of ended up, you found it, it felt right?
Yeah, so hummingbird spirit animal actually guided me on our transition to Costa Rica. I was at a retreat. I attended a retreat and someone called in the 4 directions and one of the animals for the 4 directions is the hummingbird. And she talked about how they sip on the nectar of each flower on their migration from North America to South America and back again. And they just trust that the flower is going to be there. And that's very much how I felt. Like I didn't know where we were going to end up. I didn't really know what we were doing. I felt silly sometimes. Like it was super scary to let go of all this, you know, false sense of security that we had built up for ourselves. And so, well, it's all an illusion, right?
Yeah, I know, but we hold on for dear life. Yeah, that's real.
We sure do.
Oof. Sure do. I'm just unclenching my hands now, right?
Mm-hmm. Again and again and again.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so you just like, yeah, go ahead.
We were house sitting for some friends when we moved down. So I had some friends living there and we had 6 weeks to find the place and we had looked and looked and looked at different condos or like jungle shacks or like different kind of houses and nothing was fitting. And so I'm like, okay, hummingbird, like you guided us all the way here. Like I need to find a place to live. And so across the street, they were working on this little 2-story house. And I walked over one day. We had passed it on the way to the beach. You could just walk to the beach right there. And I said, hey, are you going to be renting this out? They were kind of fixing it up. And he's like, yeah, it'll be done in a couple weeks. And I looked up and I had seen this mural as we passed by going to the beach. But I looked up for the first time and I had asked to see a hummingbird wherever we were supposed to end up. And I looked up and there was a hummingbird at the top of the mural. And it wasn't like I imagined a little hummingbird flitting in my face, but it was it was art. And so we ended up like, give me the key. Yep, this is it. And we were there for 2.5 years. We just moved, actually. Our time was up there. We kind of expanded out of the place, but I'm super grateful for the time we had there. And it's just been like that, like little signs, paying attention. Yeah, it's exciting. It's sometimes scary. We're kind of in another transitional space, trying to do a lot of big things and just taking it one step at a time.
Wow. With four kids.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Good for you. Wow. All right. So are we ready to tell them what you're doing now or is there more?
Yes, yeah. I know.
Let me see if we missed anything. Well, the cacao, but I don't know if that comes later. When does the cacao come in?
Oh, I could talk about cacao. I just drank some before we started, I told you. So living in Costa Rica is like definitely opened me up and let me let go of a lot of inhibitions and false layers of self, and just kind of it has a way of bringing you back to your real self and your connection with nature, your connection with yourself. And it has allowed me to explore parts of me that I don't think I would have been able to access if I wasn't living there. So one cool thing that has come to me there is cacao, which I wish I had some with me, but cacao is a plant, and you may have heard of cacao ceremonies or people drinking it now. It's really good for you. It's like the highest source of iron that humans can consume. Yeah, so cacao grows in Costa Rica, and it's really a magical plant. It helps to open your heart. So not only is it really physically good for you, it's got so many benefits. It's got B vitamins, iron, magnesium. It helps with stress, helps with PMS, helps with anxiety. They've done studies, and it's shown to reduce mutagenic behavior on tumors. Like, it's a wonder food.
Can you get it anyplace else or just there?
Yeah, but the one that I get is super high quality. And I actually am sharing it now so I can get you some. Yeah, I'll send you.
Cool.
I actually got to visit. So there's, I think, 5 indigenous people groups that, you know, lived in what's now called Costa Rica. And one of them is the Bribri. And that the people that I work with are from the Bribri tribe. And they make the cacao. They grow it in a super sustainable way out in the jungle. Like, it's not a field of trees. It's like sparse throughout the jungle. And I watch the whole process. They do it by hand. It's really high quality, organic cacao. And so I lead ceremony with this medicine. And it's amazing to see what comes up for people. Like, it really does work in opening your heart, and it just gives you exactly what you need. Some people cry, some people laugh, sometimes we dance. Like, it just helps you to feel more love.
Mm-hmm. And I do it like now. I want to do it right.
Yeah.
No, but the ceremony, I'm like, okay, I'm getting on a plane. Oh, you're not even there right now, but yeah. Wow, that sounds so cool. So it's like, I've heard of what is it? That people take, they do it in Costa Rica.
Ayahuasca. But,
yeah. Is it like that or it's less?
Not psychedelic.
Okay. So it's safer. Well, I'm not saying that's not safe, but it's not as.
Oh, it's super mild. So
yeah,
cacao is in chocolate bars that you would get at the grocery store, but they add, you know, it's super processed and they add like milk and sugar and other things. So this is just the raw cacao. It's a fruit.
And you drink it or do you
eat it? Yeah, I drink it. I just make it and drink it quite regularly now. yeah, it's pretty special to me. And
there was a product. Well, you know what? I'll tell you after.
Okay.
And it was, yeah, we'll talk about it after. I don't know if it was, it can't be as pure as yours, but I'm just wondering, you know, if the benefits are even remotely the same. I don't have any anymore, but anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Write that down. Okay,
yeah, cool. I just started sharing it, and the brand that we made is called Leo Luna.
How do you spell that?
L-E-O-L-U-N-A.
Oh, cool.
So Leo,
where can I get it? Any place or
no? Can you get it from me? I have it on my website, and I'm just now starting to bring it to the States, so I'm figuring out all of those import details.
All right, good.
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right. So we're gonna take our commercial break, and then we're gonna come back and talk about your new conversation for the world.
Okay. That. Sounds good.
All right, cool. All right, good. We'll be right back.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
All right. And thank you, as always, to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. We were talking about, Buffy was talking about social emotional learning at her holistic school, and that's exactly what Kikori does. So if you want to bring that to your schools, please go to KikoriApp.com and check out their platform. It is really the next movement for children and what we want for our children. And then, you know, if you want some good reading, I'm all about creating freedom. This book, Your Bullshit is Your Blessing, is tools and techniques for creating more freedom in your life, from getting from the left side of life where things are bleak to the right side where things are more fun. It's called Your Bullshit is Your Blessing, How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having More Fun. That picture, see this picture here? That was for me when I was in Panama on the front of the ship that was going through the Panama Canal. Isn't that cool? So anyway, then we have Real Talk, which is, you know, I realized after I wrote my first book, this is my second, that I wasn't speaking up. I didn't even know that. But this book is for people who have a hard time. And sometimes I still do, but I use the Getting Real process there. It's called Real Talk. You can go to realtalkwithhillary.com and check that out. And this is my memoir, Second Piece of French Toast. If marriage was my dream, why was I numbing myself? And this is my journey to get from where I ended up, where I didn't know how I got there, to back to my more real self. That's what Getting Real with Hillary is all about. So check it out if you want a good story. This was courageous. You're not allowed to judge me, but it is true. So now we're going to get back to Buffy, and she's going to talk about Winter Moon. All right. Let's go.
Well, I love the name of your memoir.
Thank you.
Second piece of wrench, does you? Read it to know what that story is coming.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
It all.
Yeah. I don't tell anyone. Start crying. But anyway, but it's good. It's all good. So
okay.
All right. So how did you start on this journey? You were teaching that, doing your retreats and all that. How long ago? Where were you in this?
So it was kind of like this path of self-discovery, right? So it was like inner healing, self-discovery, like who am I? What's going on? I've always been a spiritual person, but I kind of allowed myself to explore more during those years. That was like my late 20s, early 30s. And along that time, somewhere in there, I took a course called Inner Seasons Immersive with my friend Joanna. And they talked about the inner seasons of the womb. And they taught me for the first time in my life that my womb had a cycle. Like I knew I had a period, as we call it, but I didn't know that the whole month I was in this perpetual cycle as long as we're menstruating. And that there are seasons that you could associate with it, winter, spring, summer, fall. And I learned how to nurture and love myself throughout the whole cycle and what I might need during. So I'll just explain quickly, like the inner seasons are starting with your cycle start date. It's your inner winter. And if you think about winter, it's a time of going in. It's when you're shedding, when you're bleeding. And the archetype that you could associate it with is the crone, the old wise woman. Mm. And that's very much how I feel when I'm in that week. Everything kind of has a reflective quality where I'm kind of looking back and evaluating, as I imagine I will when I'm an elder. And then after you're finished with your shed, you move into spring, which is your follicular stage. And that's the young maiden, the blossoming, blooming young maiden, where your energy is starting to come back and your body's preparing to create an egg. And so there's different things you can do in these seasons to minister to yourself and different foods you can eat. And so I learned all of this. And then, you know, we'll move into summer, which at some point in that week, you'll release an egg. And that's your ovulation. And that's the mother, or some people call the lover archetype, where you're giving, you're creating life. And then you move back into autumn. And if the egg wasn't fertilized, it's your luteal phase and you're preparing to shed again, to clean out, to make way for the next cycle. And that's the wild wise woman. She's kind of my favorite. It was a whole course and I learned a lot. And then I learned even more through self-study and I just started to apply these concepts and it really enhanced the quality of my life. And I'm like, why are we not learning this in school? Why are our young girls not taught these things about our bodies? And, you know, from the time I was young, I didn't feel like I had a place where I fit in fully as a woman in a man's world. You know, like I could find success. I could play by those rules, like the patriarchal rules of how to have business or how to live life. And I could do that. I could push through, but it didn't feel authentic. It didn't resonate. And so rather than trying to fight for my place at the table, which is what I did for many years, at the table of life, I said, you know what? I don't subscribe anymore. I'm going to make a new table. And so that's what we're doing. So we're making a new way and we're creating a new place. And so this is a woman's place to start. It's a woman's place. And I'm defining what that means, redefining what that means. So winter moon is providing sacred space and intentionally curated tools to empower women as they navigate all of the cycles of the womb. So it's not just the menstruation phase, which is usually from like ages 11 till menopause, but we want to minister to women in menopause, women who are trying to conceive, women who have miscarried, women who have had emergency C-sections, young girls getting their first cycle. Like, all these really intense things happen to us because we have wombs in our bodies. And up to now, all of these things are kind of hush-hush, taboo, filled with shame. The inner winter, the bleed week itself, is seen as dirty, shameful. You keep it discreet. Just pop some Advil and get back to work. You know, there's no space for it in the world as it is now. And we really want to change that. And I think the way to do that is just through awareness, just the same way I explained to you when I became aware that I had a cycle and that I could love myself in certain ways throughout the month and track how I'm feeling with moods and energy level. And I mean, it determines so much for us because we have these hormones that go along with our womb cycle. So when I started to pay attention, I think like awareness is the first step. And so that's what we want to share.
And how did you take that initial course? How did you find out about it or go?
A friend of mine was offering it. I don't know how we met. She had come on some of my retreats and I think we had some mutual friends, but it just kind of sparked me. I'm like, what is that? I don't know. So I was curiosity.
And is she part of what you're doing now?
She's helping us some and she's really excited for us. Yeah.
How did she get into it? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know, actually. I know she has her own journey, her own story with just being a woman and the things that we go through. I don't know her story, actually, for how she got to that.
Because I wonder because she obviously passed it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I wonder who the first person, not that it matters, but that's where my brain goes, like, who started this first? Because, you know, it's not, like you said, we're not aware. We just buy the whatever products and go through it. And, you know, that's the way it was. But yeah,
we used to be aware. And then I think that it was taken from us.
When do you think it changed?
I don't know exactly, but it seems like things weren't always like this. And we've been kind of isolated. And I think when women come together, we like to talk, right? So we communicate a lot and we bond through being together. Women are stronger together. And I think that's how humans used to live. And yeah, so my initial idea was, oh my God, we need a sanctuary in every town where women can go and just be during their bleed week and get ministered to. They could have a quiet reading room where they can just have some space. They could have a special tea blend that helps ease their cramps. They could have different services like a gentle yoga class, or I don't know if you've heard of yoni steam. Or
what is it?
Yoni steam is basically steaming. So yoni is a word that I prefer to use rather than vagina. Vagina means a sheath for your sword, for a sword.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I prefer to not, you know, label my body in regard to someone else's body.
Yeah.
Yoni is a word that's kind of popular to use to describe. So it's basically like a facial, but for your yoni. And wow. Eat certain herbs that are really healthy for your reproductive system. And yeah. So things like that, we would like to have at our sanctuaries. But as I had that, you know, we could also have like Reiki and all kind of modalities, sacred baths, sound healings, things like that. But I was like, well, how am I ever going to do that? Like, I have this idea, but how am I going to do that and get it out into the world? I've got 4 kids. I was homeschooling and I'm like, forget it. So I just kind of set it to the side. And then this summer, we were on one of our RV trips. We went up the East Coast and we ended up like in Massachusetts where the witch trials were.
Salem.
Mm-hmm. And Danvers. And we we learned a lot. Like, I was studying this book and I was just like, this was just terrible what happened to these women and men just for, you know, like the silly things that they were accused for. And I got really enraged and I was reading all these different books and I was like, just kind of got more passionate about the way that I'm a feminist. And so I said, how can I start creating a space for women right now where I'm at? And so we created Winter Moon, and it's a cyber sanctuary. So we're going to be starting our podcast. Actually, this week we're recording the first episode.
Wow.
Yeah, we want to hear women's womb stories. So we want to collect stories and share information and allow women to identify with each other through stories. So it's going to be online to start. And then we're also starting subscription boxes, cycle support subscription boxes that are going to help get this concept, this kind of reframe into people's hearts and homes. So rather than like, oh, I got my period, like, oh, let me drudge through it. It's like, oh, I got my winter moon box. Let's see these fun, not fun, but important gifts that are in the box this month. So we're working with women makers from all over the world, and we'll be including things that are nurturing and supportive for women during their bleed week. So things like cacao, Leo Luna will be providing the cacao, massage oils, sustainable feminine products, yoni steam packets, oracle cards. So yeah, can I share about the oracle cards?
Sure.
So Hillary's daughter actually painted our oracle cards, and this is just a prototype, but they're brand new art. I don't know how well you can see it. Original art, and she put so much love into these, and they're just beautiful.
Yes. And which one is which? Can you tell us which? Yeah.
So this is the winter, the bleed week, and it's really a striking image. And on the back, you can figure out why. And she tells the story. There's different mythology from around the world, and she incorporated. She did a really good job. So this is a really cool story. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's on the back of this one.
Cool.
It's winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go in order. Winter, and then comes spring. Follicular phase. She talks about some Greek mythology here with pomegranates. It's kind of shiny because it had been laminated.
Yeah.
And then summer.
Wow.
Yes. Beautiful.
It's beautiful, right?
Yeah, ovulation. And then autumn. Doesn't that look like... And she talks about a Balinese myth with masks. So, yeah, I think there will be more to come. Those are just our first four that she's created for us. But we're working with all kinds of amazing creatives with so many different supportive products. And we're really excited to share them and help change, like just reframe the way we're approaching this really important part of being a woman. And, you know, later we'll have our next thing after we get the cycle support boxes going is the My Menarch year-long subscription. And that's for young girls who are experiencing their first cycle. So it's going to be similar, but a little more customized for young girls. Because I think back to like when I had my first cycle, if you want, you can think back to yours. And I was just so unsupported. And I want it to, so my daughter is 10 and she'll be moving into this phase soon. And I want it to feel more like a rite of passage, like an initiation into this amazing power that we have of creation. And so I want to support them with education, and there'll be some art in there and some other supportive things. But we have more boxes too for the future. Those are the two that we're going to start with. So
cool. So if they want to, subscribe, they would go to wintermoonrising.com.
Wintermoonwellness.com.
Shoot. Oh, well, I got the first one. I keep saying it wrong. Oh, it was so cool. Wintermoonwellness.com. Okay. So yeah, so you can do that. You can they get the
the young people's boxes yet?
Those are scheduled to start in July.
Okay.
So we're working on it.
Yeah. All right. So they can go there. Now, can I ask a question? When you say you want to hear women's womb stories, like what's an example of that?
So I want to hear whatever your story is. Like, we could open it up to like, what was your first menarche? What was your first bleed like? Where were you? Did you feel supported? What was that like for you? Do you want to share yours?
I remember exactly where I was. I was at Longshore, which was the town pool. I happened to be with a girl that I knew, and I was like, oh no, you know. So I don't remember what she did.
Did you know what was happening?
I think so. I think my mother had told me, but, you know, all of a sudden you see blood in your underwear and you're like, oh, you know, it's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I had been told, it was like, oh no, there it is. I mean, I was going into eighth grade, I think. So I was like 12. So I was a little bit later than some. And then I remember when I went home, my sister trying to teach me how to use a tampon. I didn't know where to put it, you know. I mean, I think I must have eventually figured it out. But I mean, so she was there. So I had an older sister. So that was a little support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it wasn't like we had a ceremony or anything. It was just kind of very, don't tell anyone. I mean, I know people who, you know, they were wearing white shorts their first time and all of a sudden people were laughing at them because they had blood through them, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be traumatic, right?
It'd be traumatic. It's so traumatic. And it doesn't have to be. And it's like we just
suffer. Shame. Yeah, the shame and the embarrassment. I mean, you'd never just want to be so careful from then on, you know. Not be free to live, right?
Right, because this is a fully functioning part of being a female in that womb, and we should experience no shame about it. Right. And so we're saying, like, no, we're not going to agree to that anymore. You know, I think that we decide our reality, and when we can shift the mindset of enough people, it's really going to help to balance the masculine and feminine energy in our planet that's out of balance right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this isn't just for women, it's for men. Because when we are fully accepting of our full self and not neglecting or pushing away any one part of us, we can fully accept everything just as it is. And it starts with us. And
right, we don't need to joke about PMS and I'm a monster and all that stuff, right? That's also part of the, like, joking.
Right.
But it's like, it's not really a joke, you know?
Not a joke. It's a part of nature. We are a part of nature. And that's what Costa Rica living down there has taught me is like,
yeah.
What do you agree with that?
Yeah. Well, this is awesome. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we have to wrap up in a minute, but what would you like to say in closing? I know, you know, your vision for the world and what you're out to accomplish.
We'll also have Winterman retreats. So, of course, that's part of my heart is having retreats. And we'll do initiations and rites of passage for young girls and for different stages of being in a body with a womb. My heart is just really to encourage women to pay attention and to love themselves as much as possible right where they're at. Stay tuned. We're just getting started, really. We just had our launch party. If you want to share those photos from the launch party.
Yeah. Okay, go. Yeah, was in. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And it's really exciting. I mean, good for you. I admire your courage and just it's like you're breaking through something. You know, just your willingness to be a pioneer. I think that's what you were called earlier, right? A pioneer in this for all women's sakes or, yeah.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Walking forward.
Yeah, to release the shame. So thank you. Thank you so much.
It's my honor.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Check out our website. Okay, bye.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.